Welcome to a Friday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, we'll be joined by Tim Fakeless of A Wolf Among Wolves to get the Minnesota perspective on the Jimmy Butler situation.
And we're not sure what roster we'll have to start the season, but when we do, we've got a Heat season preview coming up, and we want you to contribute. You can do that by visiting our patreon.com/LockedOnHeat page and clicking on the link for a questionnaire. Please fill that out whenever you can. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where we break down every news item, rumor, game, Jimmy Butler drama situation, and more. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the Heat and the NBA for FanSided. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Ramil, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat and league at large for SB Nation and FanSided. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRamil13.
We're joined now by Tim Fakeless, who writes about the Timberwolves for A Wolf Among Wolves as well as The Athletic Minnesota. Tim, you're close to this situation involving Jimmy Butler and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Butler, of course, requesting a trade. He's got a list of demands, a list of quote-unquote preferred destinations that includes the Clippers, the Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets, and Minnesota has not yet decided if they're going to budge on that list of demands, if they are going to trade him. Thibs, it's being reported, doesn't want to trade Jimmy Butler. But we're gonna assume for the sake of this podcast, Tim, that they are going to trade Jimmy Butler. And if they are looking to do that, David and I on our last podcast talked about, okay, are they going to be looking for young pieces to sort of rebuild around Karl-Anthony Towns and sort of fit that window? Or are they going to look to try to win now? Because let's face it, Tibbs might be on the hot seat anyway, and he's ultimately the guy making this decision. What do you think? What would they be looking for in a potential Butler deal?
I think you pretty much nailed it there. I think if you're Glenn Taylor, you want to make whatever the best business decision is as the owner. If you're Tom Thibodeau and this whole Jimmy Butler plan, which obviously was a good trade in theory and in practice, I mean, they made the playoffs for the first time in 13 years. The fact that that whole move, the key centerpiece move of that entire series of moves, is now over, essentially, with Jimmy Butler wanting to leave. I feel like Tibbs has to play in sort of a win-now mindset. So I guess if I'm putting myself in Tom Thibodeau's shoes, I'm looking for more veteran pieces. Star-for-star swaps don't really happen, but it's the first thing I'd explore. I don't think that's really going to happen. So Glenn Taylor, either way, I think is going to get his way. And honestly, I think it's probably best for the organization. Save, of course, if some awesome star-for-star swap somehow occurs and there's a star player out there, a team with a star that wants to trade for Jimmy Butler, that's obviously the biggest win for the Wolves that they could get. But that's hard to come by.
What is the Glenn Taylor dynamic? I see a lot of people talking about how that influences the decision-making process and what the overall approach for a potential trade might be. From the Miami Heat fan perspective, since we're mostly not familiar with Taylor and his dealings, what is it that he brings to the table? How does he change or complicate things? Because it sounds like he's mostly throwing a monkey wrench into any potential plans.
Glenn Taylor has, before Tom Thibodeau, Glenn Taylor has mostly been known for employing Minnesotans. He's about as Minnesotan as they get. He lives during the season in Mankato, Minnesota, which is actually where I went to college. It's almost 2 hours away from the Twin Cities, about an hour and a half, give or take.
What's the mascot?
It's the Mavericks.
Go Mavericks.
And
yeah.
Their mascot is a purple bull, which, I mean, kind of ironic now. But anyway, he's been known for, you know, employing Minnesotans. So, I mean, Flip Saunders, as a right. team president after a iffy stint the first time around. Obviously, he did some really good things the second time around, bringing back KG, drafting Karl-Anthony Towns, etc. The Zach LaVine pick was a good pick. But this was kind of the first time where he had made a move in the front office outside of his comfort zone, and he used a search service, or I'm not even sure what the proper term is, but a search service of sorts. And I think to any big NBA fan out there, Tom Thibodeau was kind of seen as a hot coaching commodity, but not necessarily under that dual role. Mm-hmm. And since then, from what I've read and what I've heard, it sounds like they've clashed a little bit to the point where it could have been so much as like that game 82 against Denver that decided the winner of the or the winner to get destroyed by Houston in the first round. Had they not won that game, sounds like Glenn Taylor was ready to potentially make some moves, which is another story all in itself. Why is one game the deciding factor over something that should be really decided over a whole body of work? But that's another story. That's kind of my long-winded answer, my long-winded way of saying he's kind of been a Minnesotan guy, hired Minnesotan, stayed within his comfort zone. Tibbs is outside his comfort zone. It's had mixed results.
Is there any chance that he just demotes Tibbs and says, look, we tried the GM thing. It didn't work. Experiment went wrong. But stay the head coach. Let's go hire a GM to actually do that job.
It's not impossible. They did that with Kevin McHale
right. In
a different way a few years ago. When Kevin McHale was let go in Minnesota, it was because he was the GM. And I think Randy Whitman was the coach at the time, or the interim head coach, because they had fired Dwayne Casey, something like that. I don't remember the specifics. But they fired Whitman and demoted McHale and made him the head coach, a role that he had had a couple times before in Minnesota and had gone pretty well. Glenn Taylor's done it before, so I don't think that's impossible.
But is that something Thibodeau would be willing to accept, you think, from your perspective?
No.
I wouldn't think so either.
Willing to suggest it or, give it sort of it's this or the highway. But right. I think just even with this Jimmy Butler and maybe potentially refusing to trade him, I think that's a pretty telltale sign about how he feels about even the slightest of change over the power structure he has going right now.
Well, things are going smoothly in Minnesota, but if the Timberwolves can't trade for another star, if they can't do like their version of DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi Leonard kind of thing, then they might be forced to look at another young player or try to get kind of pennies on the dollar or whatever. Maybe try to do their version of Paul George for Victor Oladipo, and maybe you get an asset that just sort of pops on your team after a change of scenery. And as Heat fans and us on this show, we've been talking about what could the Heat put on the table that could be enticing enough for Minnesota to deal Butler and maybe make Thibs come off of that of his current status as, no, I'm not trading him. And we're wondering what your thoughts are on Josh Richardson, because he seems like a guy who not only plays the same position as Jimmy Butler and could slide into that and just basically fill that position. He's not as good as Jimmy Butler, obviously, but he's a really good wing defender, something that Thibs, I'm sure, likes. He showed a lot of improvement on the offensive end last year. And he signed an extension last October, which looks to be pretty favorable, between $9 and $10 million a year. Do you think that that's something that would get conversations going for Minnesota?
I think if you're Miami and you want to make a package surrounding Jimmy Butler, yeah, Richardson's got to be a piece of that for sure. I remember, I think it was last year, it might have even been 2 years ago, I used to joke that I don't think I'd ever seen him miss a shot before. I've always been a pretty big Josh Richardson fan, but my only concern if I were a Miami Heat fan is, if Glenn Taylor gets his way and it turns into more of a let's get some young pieces and picks and try to build around Cat, now that he's going to be locked up to a max deal and for better or for worse, Wiggins the same way. I mean, I feel like teams like Los Angeles, when I say Los Angeles, I mean the Knicks, the Lakers, and then New York, I think, and even Philly, if Philly decides to go for it, I feel like they have offers that you could argue are stronger than Miami's.
If they put a Markelle Fultz, a Kevin Knox, a Brandon Ingram on the table, that kind of player.
Exactly. Okay. I think those pieces are probably, just in terms of trade value, more appealing than Josh Richardson.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Richardson of those three is going to give you more production right away. And it's not like he's an old guy or anything, but he seems like almost too far in between to appeal to what I would imagine Glenn Taylor would be looking for. If Tom Thibodeau is in charge, that's more likely. But in the event he actually ends up deciding to trade Jimmy, what I'm trying to say is I don't see that day coming. if Jimmy's gone, my friend Andrew Grimsrud wrote a thing about it at Wolf Among Wolves, I feel like Tibbs' days might be numbered as well. But in the event that Tibbs does decide he's willing to trade Jimmy, Josh Richardson is definitely a piece that would make sense in a package.
So you don't think that they're going to trade Jimmy Butler?
I think that they're going to, if I had to predict, I think that within the next, by the trade deadline, Tom Thibodeau is gone, as is Jimmy Butler. So that's my guess. And I could be totally wrong, because I was totally wrong about this entire thing throughout the summer. So you never know.
Well, let's go into that, because I'm kind of curious. I mean, obviously, there's been reports of strife there, and even I got a chance to see some of it, even on a very small scale, when the team was in Orlando, and it didn't seem like everybody was quite meshing on the same page. But I would imagine that you, like most Timberwolves fans, probably were caught somewhat off guard, or is that the case? Am I incorrect in that assessment?
In Jimmy deciding he wants out?
Yes.
Kind of.
Did you see that coming? You thought that going a week away from the start of training camp that he would demand a trade?
I thought it didn't shock me, I guess. I don't think it necessarily shocked anybody, only because there had been rumblings about it throughout the summer. It's just the timing of it was surprising, I think. Right. I think by September, I think people were assuming, well, we don't exactly know what's going to happen with Jimmy Butler next summer, but he's probably on the team this year. So this might be a sign and trade thing at the very best for the Wolves, but obviously him getting an extension is the best case scenario. But I don't think anybody was shocked, because there was always this uncertainty about him. Even with Tibbs here, I think that whole idea that Tibbs and Jimmy were really buddy-buddy was a little bit overblown.
Really?
That's just my personal opinion. I never really saw them goofing off in the locker room or goofing off on the sideline or anything. Jimmy's kind of got his posse, and Tibbs is very, about the job. He obviously admires Tibbs, and I think Tibbs admires Jimmy quite a bit as well. But I never really saw like this strong friendship, like this I only want to play for Tom Thibodeau vibe that maybe was let on through the trade. So I wasn't necessarily shocked. It's last year in his deal, so no.
Did you see the strife between him and Kat, or him and Wiggins, manifest in any way?
I knew that Jimmy Butler, and only because there was a really good feature on Vice Sports, I think Michael Pena wrote about it last summer, and one quote that stuck out to me was where he essentially said, I get frustrated when people don't work as hard as I do. Sure. He said that straight up. And Karl Anthony Towns is an extremely hard worker. And despite the reputation that he holds, I think Andrew Wiggins is a very hard worker in the offseason and during the season. But it's not to the same freakish level that Butler has. Right. So when he sees that talent, but doesn't see the hard work to the same degree that Jimmy has, it can probably bother him. Or it probably bothers him. And maybe it got to the point where he thought that it wouldn't work. I feel like it's going to be hard to find teammates quite as good as Kat. Kawhi Leonard's obviously an exception, but sounds like the places he's looking at mostly are going to have cap space to sign another max guy. Apparently Wiggins and Kat don't fall under that umbrella.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, that's the Heat's problem, is that they can't... There is no clear path. Even if they were to hypothetically trade for Jimmy Butler, there's no clear path to a second star, so they've got to hope that they can convince Jimmy Butler to stay for other reasons. You could say, look, yeah, we don't have that other star, but maybe Bam Adebayo turns into that. Maybe Justice Winslow turns into that, and you've been around them. You can see how hard they work. They are grinders just like you, and they're fanatical about their workouts just like you are. Maybe that Heat culture, so to speak, will convince him to stay. But I still do think Miami, it's worth taking a shot, yes. And especially given the recent history, the last 12 months of guys like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard getting moved, and teams like Oklahoma City and Toronto not being on that preferred list of destinations that both of those guys had as well. They're like, you know what, screw it, let's try it anyway. And in Oklahoma City's case, it worked. Now, of course, they had Russell Westbrook there, and that helped. But I think Miami is in a very similar situation. And I don't know, we mentioned the other young players. If I'm the Knicks, I'm not moving Kevin Knox for Jimmy Butler, because Butler's a free agent. You don't know what his decision's going to be, or where Kyrie Irving might end up, or who Jimmy Butler decides to follow next summer. If you're the Clippers, I get it, but I'm not sure I don't know if they have the pieces to beat anything that Miami can put together. They've got those two lottery pick guards, but they're virtual unknowns at this point. And then if you're the Lakers, if you were unwilling to trade Brandon Ingram for Kawhi Leonard, I don't know why you would trade it for Jimmy Butler. And then, of course, the whole Markelle Fultz situation is dicey and confusing at best, so I don't even know where to start with that. So if you're Miami, you know, suddenly your package, not to keep going back to this, but that package of Josh Richardson and maybe Kelly Olynyk and a first-round pick starts to look pretty good if you're Minnesota.
Maybe. no, if you're Miami and Jimmy Butler has you on his list of five teams that he's interested in, you have to at least make a call. I mean, last summer, Kyrie Irving had Minnesota on his short list of teams to be traded to.
That's because of Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, exactly. And nobody really thought that the Cavaliers would want Andrew Wiggins for Kyrie Irving, but that was the only package that made any sense. So, I mean, if you're Miami, you have to go and give it a shot, even if it means getting told no. So right. If you're Miami, I think you absolutely have to go for it. I do disagree a little bit about if you're New York and not wanting to give up Kevin Knox for him. But that's more of a matter of whether or not they're going to get another piece in there. But I think Jimmy Butler is a pretty good negotiator, and he's got a lot of star friends in the NBA. It sounds like I would assume he wouldn't ask for a trade if he didn't feel already confident about a player or two that he thinks will team up with him in another summer from now.
How legitimate are concerns that Butler may or may not be a very good teammate? I mean, obviously we're seeing some tension there in Minnesota. We've heard that there was tension in Chicago. We've seen that there was as well. From what you've seen, is this overstated, or does it just have to find like the right combination of obsessive work ethic in order for him to kind of develop the chemistry that we'd expect? Not that chemistry is necessarily what is necessary for success, you know, but at the same time, you'd want to have it and you wouldn't want it to manifest negatively the way we've seen in Minnesota and Chicago. Is it possible to work alongside Jimmy, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think so. Jimmy is a really abrasive personality when confronted, but that's also just part of his personality. He likes to go at you. He likes to go back and forth. We had a Lee Jenkins actually on my old podcast, Wolves Wired, when right after he wrote a big feature on Sports Illustrated about Jimmy Butler. One thing he said is he's really combative, even in just casual conversation. That's just his personality. It doesn't necessarily mean he's a bad guy. It's just the way he talks, even to his friends. But I think that can also rub people the wrong way. And on top of all that, like we just talked about, yeah, he gets frustrated when other people don't work the way that he works. And he works in an insane type of way. Like when he came into the NBA, he was an end of the bench guy, but he worked his way up to stardom. It's really hard to do that. He has that obsessive personality that like a Kobe has, so to speak. Right. And that can be hard to play with. And when you're not, I mean, Jimmy Butler is a great player, but Kobe's on another level. So I think Kobe was able to get away with it to a different degree than Jimmy probably is. So yeah, there's something probably to that. But at the same time, like I've been in the locker room when Andrew Wiggins would be in there with him and Jimmy would look over to him and be like, hey, next game, whoever gets the most blocks or the most steals wins X. You know what I mean? Like they were just trying to go at each other in a competitive way to make each other better. So there was positive teamwork there and he was attempting to help them, but it was, to some people, it wasn't enough. It was more frustration than it was encouragement.
So I think the more interesting point that you made there that I want to kind of go back to is that Jimmy Butler having his list of teams, he's connected to stars, and that's, you know, from on our podcast, what we keep talking about is we've been talking about the idea of trading for a guy like Jimmy Butler because he is so connected with other star players in the league. And he can help recruit the way Dwayne Wade recruited LeBron and Chris Bosh in 2010. Jimmy Butler could play a similar role. And so, yeah, one Jimmy Butler doesn't make you a contender, but who Jimmy Butler can recruit might make you a contender, especially in an Eastern Conference. So, but that was an interesting point that you made about, hey, he's looking at those teams with the two max cap slots because he is so connected. He probably has an idea of who he wants to play with. And the rumors out there have been Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, guys like that. I mean, I don't know. Kawhi Leonard. I mean, yeah. Is it Kawhi and Jimmy in L.A.? Is that kind of what we're looking at? Because I find it hard to believe that Durant would leave Steph for Jimmy Butler. I find it hard to believe that, you know, maybe Kyrie, but leaving Boston and what they have to go to the Clippers just with like Jimmy Butler and then a bunch of stuff, like whatever else they have on that roster, I don't see it. But you think Kawhi is the guy?
Well, the only reason I say that is because the Clippers are on his list, and like the same day that this trade request happened, there were reports from, I think it was Woj, about how the Clippers are Kawhi's top choice for next summer. So you never know. That's just me speculating, but that's all we're doing at this point anyway.
Oh, well, this is the right show for speculation. That's all we can do here. We appreciate the inside, Tim. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Yeah, I'm mostly at A Wolf Among Wolves. I spent the last year at Zone Coverage, and then I'm also going to be doing occasional columns and stuff at The Athletic, and then I also do the most read thing at The Athletic. It's the game-by-game player grades.
Perfect. And you do great work. We appreciate you coming on. And maybe the next time we talk to you, we're talking about Jimmy Butler being on the Heat, hopefully. So thanks again, Tim.
I'll be here to talk about that if that happens, for sure. I'll also owe somebody $20. That's a true story.
Really?
Yeah. I've got a Heat fan, buddy.
Thanks for listening. One last thing before you go. If you run a company and you're unhappy with your return from advertising online or in print, try something new and advertise on a podcast here at Locked On Heat. This is a great opportunity for local South Florida businesses to connect with Heat fans. More and more people are listening every day. 50% of U.S. households listen to a podcast, and 1 in 5 Americans between ages 18 and 49 listen to at least one a month. That's according to Nielsen. Thanks to the rise in mobile options from iTunes to Spotify and more, to your smart speaker at home, there's more ways than ever to listen to podcasts. Now is the time to get in. Be ahead of your competition and start advertising on a podcast with us. Our rates are reasonable and based on the number of listens, so you get what you pay for, with numbers to back it up. Whereas print, TV, and radio ads are a shot in the dark. You have no idea who is reading, watching, or listening. That's not the case with podcasts. If you want to reach engaged, passionate, and knowledgeable South Floridians, this is the way to do it. For more information on next steps, email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com, and we could be talking about your company on the next episode.